Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes. Lord, that you would open our eyes to see the wonders of your word. Lord, by your spirit, we just ask, Lord, that you would illuminate for us your truth. Show us your great love and your grace. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, good morning again. It's good to be in the house of the Lord together. Go ahead, if you haven't already, and turn your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. For those of you who weren't here last week, and those who were, I told a little story about my sickness of hearing words and phrases that make me think of songs, and then I have to sing them or the world is not right. This week, something a little different happened. I was out and about, and I was in the store, and in the store speakers, I heard a song. And the words said this: "You'll remember me when the west wind moves upon the fields of barley." Well, fields of barley have been on my mind all week. And this song is called "The Fields of Gold" by Sting. And my mind began spinning, and I was like, this song's about a couple who falls in love during the time of a barley harvest. I thought, wait a minute. Did Sting write this about Ruth and Boaz? Maybe he was raised in a Christian home. I started getting excited. But alas, that's not the case. He just lives in England next to a barley field, inspired the song. Darn. But anyways, I named today's sermon Fields of Grace. Ruth chapter 2 takes place in the barley fields. So then I thought, well, you know what? A good song for us to be as a backdrop for today would be the song that we sang earlier, Amazing Grace. We are going to see God's grace on full display today. We're going to meet Boaz, and he displays many similarities to Jesus. Some folks refer to this as a typology. Typology is a special kind of symbolism in the Bible. Literally means the study of the Bible's use of types. Most of the types are types of Christ. When we look at the Old Testament, when we say something is a type of Christ, what we mean is that this person or thing shares qualities that Jesus shares. We do need to be careful, though. Otherwise, everything will start to become a type of Christ. And that's just not the case. Types of Christ usually have several similarities to Christ. And Boaz is a type of Christ. Boaz is a great man of God. And Jesus is the better Boaz. Just as he is the better Adam and the better David, both of whom are also types of Christ. And this leads us to our main point today. God's providence is amazing grace, leading us to the greater Boaz, Jesus Christ. God's providence is amazing grace, leading us to the greater Boaz, Jesus Christ. God has been quietly working in the background, even if Naomi and Ruth couldn't see it yet. And in chapter 2, God's work becomes evident. As I said before, his amazing grace is on display. Point number one, grace leads. Grace leads. Let's look at verses 1 to 3. Now Naomi had a relative and her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. She happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. The writer of Ruth begins chapter 2 by introducing us to Boaz. We're told he's a relative of Naomi's husband. And it says that he is a worthy man. At first that might sound like he's wealthy, but later it becomes clear what the writer means by worthy. Yes, it does so happen to be true that Boaz is wealthy, but what the writer really is getting at after Boaz is his character. Another translation of the Bible says this, in place of the term worthy, it says that Boaz is a prominent man of noble character. Boaz is a man of justice and integrity. And the writer continues also to remind us of Ruth's ethnicity. It says, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain. After him whose sight I shall find favor. The writer wants us to remember and be amazed by the fact that all of this is about to happen to a young Moabite woman. And this is significant. She's going to find favor. And this isn't the favor a Moabite woman would normally find. She's planning to go to the field and glean among the ears of grain. Glean isn't a word that we use often these days. So what exactly is going on here? Well, we find the answer to this where God gives us some miscellaneous laws in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19 to 21. It says this, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive tree, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterwards. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. So the poor, the foreigner, the widow, they're allowed to harvest after the harvesters and glean to gather the crops that are left behind. And Ruth is all of these things. And so she says to Naomi, let me go and get us some grain. I'll head out to the fields, I'll put in some work, and we'll eat. Verse 3 says that she happened to come to the field belonging to Boaz. Friends, there is no coincidences when it comes to the Lord. His providence is his amazing grace. And in the Lord's sovereign grace, he leads Ruth to Boaz's field. Ruth didn't know Boaz, and she certainly didn't know that he was family. And this proves that God was not against Naomi, as Naomi had claimed in chapter 1. The grace of God is on full display. Point number 2, grace welcomes. Grace welcomes. Verses 4 to 13. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, she is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter. Do not go and glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to the people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and full reward be given you by the Lord and God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. So Boaz comes to his field. Immediately he shows us that he's a godly man. He arrives, and the first thing he does is greet his men, Lord be with you. And they answer, the Lord bless you. This is the kind of man that Boaz is. This is the kind of boss he is. He shows how he cares for his workers. So if you're a boss here today, pay attention. Be like Boaz. Boaz's faith and work are not a separate thing, as ours shouldn't be. Verse 5, Boaz takes notice of Ruth. He looks to his field supervisor and he's like, he doesn't necessarily say, who is she? He says, whose is she? Who does this young woman I don't recognize belong to? Ruth would have, of course, stood out like a sore thumb. She's not among the normal women who are there every day, and she's a Moabite. And so he inquires as to who she's related to. And again, we're reminded that she's a Moabite. The supervisor says she's the young Moabite woman that came with Naomi. She requested to glean, and so she's been here all day. He points out her incredible work ethic. She has labored since early morning and has not taken a rest until just a little bit ago, a short one. Boaz's character begins to shine through. He says, "Listen, my daughter, do not glean anywhere else but in these fields. Keep close to my young women. Glean where they're gleaning, and the men won't do you harm." He shows great care for her. He wants her to be safe. He knows that it's dangerous anywhere else. He knows that these other men's fields can be a dangerous place for a woman, and especially a foreigner. And then he continues to be more and more generous. He says, "If you're thirsty, drink from my men's vessels. They've already drawn the water for you." He's seeking to make her work easier. By doing this, he's eliminating the long, hot walk to the well and the hard work that it would be to pull up the water. And she would have to do this every time she was thirsty. Upon hearing this, Ruth humbly responds to Boaz's kindness. She falls on her face. She bows to the ground. "Why have I found favor in your eyes? Why have you noticed me, a Moabite woman?" She shows respect and thankfulness for his kindness and favor. He, of course, answers her, "Well, I've heard all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been told to me. You left your father, your mother, your native land, and you came to the people you didn't know." He recognizes that Ruth has no obligation to stay with Naomi. Her husband's death ended any obligation that she had, but yet she remains faithful. Look back at chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." She's loyal. She's come to believe and follow the Lord of Israel. And Boaz takes notice. He then prays for her, asking for a blessing. He says, "Lord, repay you for what you have done, and full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have taken refuge." I paused here when I first read this week. The Psalms are full of mention of the comforting shelter that the wings of a mother bird has. I could give you passage after passage in the Psalms, but let's look at just one. One of my favorites, Psalm 36, 5 through 9. The psalmist says this, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Boaz knows the great love of God and the refuge that he offers, and he's asking this blessing for Ruth. He also engages in this very blessing himself by offering her refuge. He says, "Stay in the fields, stay with my ladies, glean where they glean, and you'll be safe." And again, Ruth humbly thanks Boaz. She says, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, and you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." She is moved by his kindness and comforted by him, recognizing that he has no reason to do so. Again, God's grace is on full display, and it's through the grace of Boaz that he does it. Point number 3, grace provides. Grace provides. Look at 14 through 18. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here and eat bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied and had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her the food that had been left over after being satisfied. Again, Boaz's graciousness continues. He has already gone well and above what the law has required him to do. But mealtime comes, and everybody sits down to eat, and he invites her to come and eat with them. He offers her bread and wine. She has been working since early morning, hard all day, so there's no doubt that she was hungry. And there's no doubt that she was hungry before the day started as well. The text says that she ate until she was satisfied, and that there were leftovers. This is really a cool contrast that I noticed between Naomi and Ruth here. In chapter 1, it tells us that Naomi leaves Bethlehem full and returns empty. And here in chapter 2, Ruth arrives in the fields empty and returns full. This word satisfied immediately made me think of Jesus and the bread and the meal. And so I began thinking of Matthew. Look at chapter 14 of Matthew, 15 through 21. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, this is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to them, we have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. He said, bring them here. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Boaz provides for Ruth. He offers her to eat with him, gives her more than she needs, and there's leftovers. And Jesus provides for his people, blessing them with an abundance of fish and bread. And they ate and were satisfied. We are satisfied in Jesus. So after this meal is over, Ruth gets up to continue to work. Boaz instructs his men, yet again, to let her glean among the sheaves. He says, do not reproach her. Don't disapprove of this. Give her some of the bundles as well. Boaz continues to make Ruth's job easier. I don't know if you know much about barley. It's nasty stuff. I used to work back in the day, back home in the harvest time. I used to dump trucks, and we had tons of barley come in. And one day, I was told, I need you to go over to the barley silo and dig out the barley at the bottom that wouldn't go up from the auger. So when it emptied out, gets to the bottom, you get inside there, and the auger would be exposed, and there would just be a whole bunch of barley left. Well, usually in August, it's about 90 plus degrees, as it was this day. So that means inside the silo, it's going to be 110 plus. I crawl inside. I have to shovel it into a bucket, hand it out, wait for the bucket to come back, shovel it again. Well, let's just say I'm a wimp. Besides the heat, the barley itself is nasty stuff, like I said. If you examine barley really closely, especially under a microscope, you'll see this like 3 fish hooks. And so in the heat, you're sweating, your pores are open, the barley gets in there and it digs in and it doesn't let go. It itches, it burns, I'm a wimp, all of that. Go home, you take a cold shower, feels awesome, soap, you're doing all the stuff, doesn't help, doesn't come out, so now you're laying there all night itching, then you have to get up and go do it again. I'm a wimp. I said that. Ruth is tougher than me. She gleans all day in this stuff. She gathers what they say is an epaph of barley. Of course, you all know how much that is. No? Okay. Somewhere in the 30-pound range, like 20-some quarts. Needless to say, Boaz is very generous. One commentator remarked, it's likely that this much barley could feed a working man for several weeks. And this is what makes it even more amazing. This is more than a normal woman would be able to glean. Not only is she tough, but she's strong, because packing around 30 pounds of barley can't be easy. It says that she went back to the city. Is that a quarter mile? Is that 3 miles? We don't know how far it is, but needless to say, it would have been a long, hard trek. Says that she gave Naomi the leftovers from dinner, and that Naomi ate. And it's at this point where Naomi's frown turns upside down. She's about to see God's grace, and hope is finally here. Point number four, grace brings hope. Grace brings hope. Verses 19 to 23. And her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law in whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. She lived with her mother-in-law. Naomi at this point has no idea what has transpired during the day. She asks, where have you been today? Where were you working? And then she offers a blessing even before she knows. This is amazing. Bitter Naomi, upon eating some food and seeing how much barley that she's brought back, is her countenance has lightened up. She's offering blessings when she was offering no blessings the day before. And Ruth tells Naomi who the man is. She says, his name is Boaz. And again, Naomi offers blessings. May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi is finally seeing the providential hand of God at work in her life. May Boaz be blessed by the Lord for his kindness. This word kindness in the Hebrew is hesed. And I did some looking at this word. A couple commentators say that it takes a few words to really translate this word. Word hesed could mean grace, mercy, loving kindness, loyalty. I like the Lord's covenantal loving kindness. He's loyal. This is who the Lord has told us that he is over and over in the scriptures. Look at Exodus 34, 6 and 7. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Our God is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And Naomi sees it again. And she's rising up from the bitter mud that she's been stuck in. She sees God. She sees that he has not forsaken the living, her and Ruth, and he has not forsaken the dead, her husband and sons. And then she says to Ruth, Boaz is a close relative, one of our redeemers. Redeemer is strong language. She's again referring to the law. Look with me at Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 10. It says, if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in to her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son whom she bears shall succeed the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. And if the man does not wish to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to perpetuate his brother's name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of the husband's brother to me. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak to him. And if he persists, saying, I do not wish to take her, then his brother's wife shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, pull his sandal off his foot, and spit in his face. And she shall answer and say, shall it be done to the man who does not build up his brother's house? And the name of his house shall be called in Israel, the house of him who has his sandal pulled off. So Naomi points out that Boaz is one of these potential redeemers. And we're going to see that a little more fully fleshed out in the next few chapters. But what I want us to see today is the hope that Naomi suddenly has regained. The grace of God, through the grace of Boaz, has brought Naomi hope. Hope that, as we saw last week, she desperately needed. Ruth says, hey mom, that's not all. He said, I can continue this for the rest of harvest. Harvest is several weeks long. And Naomi says, it's good that you go to his field with his other women. Naomi also recognizes, as Boaz did, that it's dangerous for women to be in the fields of other men. Look at 22 and 23 again. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with the young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So Ruth continues this, gleaning with these other women, safe in Boaz's fields until the end of harvest. The grace of God is on full display. Boaz is a godly man, a man whose faith and work aren't separate, a man who provides for the poor and the hungry, a man of dignity and respect, a man who prays for and provides for a young Moabite woman that he doesn't even know. He protects her. He's hospitable. He goes above and beyond what the law requires. And Boaz is, as we'll see in the coming chapters, Ruth and Naomi's redeemer. When I read this chapter, I can't help, as earlier, but think of Jesus. Chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, verse 31 to 35. Jesus says this. He says, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is the better Boaz. He is the better and ultimate redeemer. We come to Jesus empty. We have nothing to offer him. And he redeems us with his precious blood. He fills us. He satisfies us. He offers us his amazing grace every second of every day. He is the bread of life. So I say, run to him. Fellowship with him. Spend time with him daily in his word and in prayer. What are you depending on this week? Are you depending on God or are you depending on something else? Are you amazed by his grace? Christ's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like us. Boaz is a great example for us. We should, as a church, as God's church, be looking for opportunities to be generous like him, generous with our time and our money. We should be looking to be hospitable, be encouraging to others. We should be looking for the lonely. We should be looking for the overlooked, for the immigrants, for the widows, for the struggling. Each of us here received God's grace, and we should be extending that grace to others. I also say, look for the blessings in your life. I know sometimes they're hard to see, but they're there. Come to Jesus with a thankful spirit. He is our Redeemer. He leads us by His grace. He welcomes us into His family. He provides for us. He is our living hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace. We thank You that, like Ruth, we are undeserving and far from You. Yet You sought us, welcomed us. Lord, You provided for us. You did this all through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the greater Boaz. Lord, help us to receive Your grace with humble and thankful hearts. We ask that You would open our eyes to see the many ways that You lead and protect and provide. Lord, keep us from taking Your blessings for granted. Fill us with gratitude for Your faithful love. We praise You that Jesus is our Redeemer and our living hope. May our lives point others to Him. We ask this in the precious name of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.